Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, Wimp here. Just a very quick intro to say that you are about to listen to our post-game show from the 2-1 win over Aston Villa. And as it was from a post-game show, it was done as a video live on Facebook. So we will be referring to graphics and little bits and pieces which you won't be able to see because you're listening to this on a podcast. So if you want to check out the full experience, head over to facebook.com/thetilehurstend or youtube.com/thetilehurstend to see in all its full glory and mine and Dave Handbags Harris' lovely, wonderful faces. But if you prefer not to, of course, just keep listening here. But anyway, just thought I'd warn you. Anyway, we'll be back with a full roundup and analysis from that win on the Tilehurstend podcast next Monday. Plus, before that, on Friday, I will be sitting down and talking to Tom Crocker from the Wokingham Paper doing our Tilehurstend podcast extra. So hopefully you caught the first episode of that last week, and we'll be back doing more of it. Anyway, in the meantime, hope you enjoy the post-game show, and we'll catch you soon. Go on, you arse.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tilehurstend.
And facebook.com/thetilehurstend.
Welcome back, everybody. First win of the season to talk about. I'm Dan Wimbush. I'm joined by the man holding a pepper army, which he'll explain why in just a few moments, Dave Handbags Harris. Dave, before we get into the win, the pepper army, why?
Because I thought Joey Annenberg was absolutely brilliant tonight and he was a bit of an animal in the middle of that pitch.
There you go. Good reason as any. Well, more importantly, 3 points. Best performance of the season so far?
Oh, easily. By a long, long way. Best performance probably under the Amsterdam's managership. It was absolutely superb. The only thing lacking was the clinical finishing, but you know, we got the two goals. Bit of luck for the first one. Second one was really good finish from Barrow. Really good setup from Moore. And we're not far away. If we play in a similar way, we're not far away from being a very, very good side in this division. That set the bar for Yapstam.
Yeah.
Seriously set the bar. We were streets ahead of Villa. And one little nagging point, I suppose, two little nagging points. A was the goal at the end.
Yeah.
When defending a two-goal lead in the last 5 minutes or whatever it was, the amount of space that the player had, I forget who it was, to slam the ball in.
Rahane, I think.
I thought it was. And also the fact that we didn't finish them off.
Yeah.
There's no question a Reading side under Koppel or McDermott in their pomp would have been, they would have absolutely put that side to the sword, unquestionably.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on the negatives too long, but you can only use this as a positive. Anything, you can only imagine what damage this side is going to do if they just get that leading man, that central striker that can really do special things. I know, unfortunately, Yapstam has rubbished the link to Shane Long, sadly, but that type of striker, if they had that focal point of the attack with the options they've not just got available now, but are coming back to fitness, they could be frightening. They're ahead of schedule for me, Dave, and where I thought, if I looked at these first three fixtures, I thought 3 points would be a pretty good haul from it. So to get four, especially after losing comfortably on the opening day, really pleasing and a real morale boost.
I think pleasing to an extent, it should be six. Like,
yes.
Let's not forget that Fulham performance was I won't say as insipid as Villa were, but it was poor under the circumstances. It was a poor return. So we should be on six. We do have this habit still of making silly errors and being caught on the break. We've done it. We've done it twice in two home games now. The season, cliche alert, is 46 games long, not three. So, you could say you're right to have 4 points at this stage, given the fixtures at 3 o'clock 10 days ago. But under the circumstances, it's actually a little bit disappointing, which, in a backhanded way, is a compliment to us, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for everyone who's joining us in the Facebook Live. We've got Mark Sugar in who's saying, Popper, man of the match. And Dave McCormack says, Vandenberg was excellent tonight. Hashtag imperious. So keep those coming. More than welcome to join in. We'll talk about Popper, Dave, because he, well, the PA gave him the first goal. I think he's going to find to have that. He's going to find it hard to hang on to that one. I think it's going to go down as an own goal. But we saw video technology used very quickly, worked brilliantly as well. And yeah, not a nice little way to get on the score sheet. Nice to have a little bit of luck going our way on that one.
Yeah, and it was no more than proper deserved, no more than we deserved. Yeah, it was a very good break, but you know, found himself an acres of space, didn't he? Took on his man nicely, a little bit of luck with the cross, but hey, like I say, yeah, and not the first time goal line technology has been used for us, incidentally.
Ooh, okay.
It has been used once before.
Where was the previous one?
Well, you weren't there. It was the FA Cup semi-final, mate.
Oh. Yeah, thanks that one. Yeah, no wonder I don't remember that one. Anyway, skirting swiftly on, if the first goal had a little bit of fortune to it for Popper, the second goal, something right off the training ground, excellently finished off by Modu Barrow for his first goal in a Reading shirt as well. This is where Reading were at their best. Just a great, classy goal. And I think there were some telling celebrations on the sidelines as well. You could tell that was one they'd been working on.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was an excellently constructed move. It was, well, you can't really say much more other than Barrow's got the finishing touch from 2 feet out. But yeah, it was a really really nice take from Moore. He found himself in acres of space with, you know, the movement, taking himself away from the men. Lovely ball in. Not entirely sure whether he was actually shooting or passing it in there, but either way, it doesn't matter. Barrow was in the right place, and nice little tap home.
What did you make of the whole system going into this game? We saw a bit more of a 4-3-3. George Evans paying the price maybe for some displays. Joey Vandenberg, I don't want to say rewarded after what he did on Saturday, but Stam certainly showed his faith in him by picking him to start the team. Were you happy with the lineup when you saw it?
Yeah, it was fairly evident. I mean, Steve Bruce has a reputation for, you know, he's not exactly what you would call an attacking manager, is he? And, you know, when you look at Villa's back line, particularly the central defensive pair, they're not exactly blessed with pace. And it was evident what we were trying to do with Clement, Popper and Barrow as the leading three, Swift and Kelly just behind, very advanced. And it worked. It worked an absolute treat. It was a joy to watch possession football with players who were comfortable receiving the ball in tight spaces, little knocking around, passing movement. It was what we come to expect from passing football. And it was really, really good to watch. And with that solid base, I mean, let's not go overboard, because Villa didn't exactly show a great deal of intent. They had very, very little of the ball to do so. It was evident what they were doing.
Yeah,
was
Scott
waiting
Hogan
to get the ball.
Yeah, Scott Hogan's early injury really didn't help either. I thought he was really good in closing us down in those first sort of 10 minutes, then picked up a knock and hobbled on for another 10 and had to be subbed off. And that really handed us a real impetus, because Gabby Agbonlahor is average at best now, isn't he?
Pretty much, yeah. It did. It handed us much more of the impetus, you're right. But at the same time, you know, as I say, with Joey Vandenberg, I mean, you've asked me for the ratings beforehand. I've given him an 8, and that is by far and away, I think, his best performance in a Reading shirt. His mind was in the right place. He was everywhere, you know, everywhere that he needed to be, just in front of that back four, just in front of McShane and Moore and Villa. Whenever they came up against him, rarely won the battle. He was absolutely imperious, and it was evident also when he left the pitch. That gaping hole that Evans was supposed to be filling, and it was there where, you know, if Vandenberg was still on the pitch, I don't think Villa would have scored that goal. Let's ignore the foul throw for a start, but the little knock down to, you know, between 12 and 18 yards was just a horrible gaping hole. When you know, it was disappointing when you're defending a 2-0 lead and you leave that amount of space in around your penalty area. It's those little things that really we need to mop up, and it invited pressure, and we didn't need to do that.
Yeah, Hourihane gets Villa back in it with about, I think, 3 minutes left on the clock. And to be fair to them, they had a glorious chance to make it 2-2. Real biting fingernail stuff, getting a free kick about 18 yards out in the centre of the box. Fortunately, slammed straight into the wall. So we got away with that one, but I did have dreadful flashbacks of Fulham. So yeah, it wasn't flawless, especially at 2-0. You really would have liked to see Reading see that one out. But we talked about the ratings. I'll get them up now on the screen. And it's fascinating. I find our player ratings brilliant, because everybody has completely different ideas and things they see of the game. I've not given anyone below a 6. And this is by our Tarlhurst End podcast website, even ratings, where six is good. As in, if you're getting a six, you've had a good day. I think you can hold your head up high and you get a high five when you come back. And sevens is great. You know, you're in contention for that Man of the Match award. So, yeah, I've handed out sixes to everyone except for Blackett, Moore, McShane and Swift, who all get sevens. You, Dave, you've been a bit more generous. Lots more sevens for you. Minone, Moore, McShane, Kelly, Swift, Popper and Barrow. We'll get in sevens for you. Joe Vandenberg gets an eight. Clear man of the match there. But Tyler Blackett a five. I thought Tyler Blackett had a good game.
Tyler Blackett had a good game. Let's not remember that a five on the Tyler's end is, you know, he's done his job. He's done it unspectacularly. He did have a decent game. But for Tyler Blackett to move up, I just think he's a player that looks like he could potentially be a better attacking outlet than what he actually is. You know, he's good. Good with the ball at his feet, but he just doesn't back himself. And as an attacking outlet today, I don't think, given the way that Villa set up, he offered enough going forward. Maybe that's not his natural game. Maybe I've been a little bit harsh, but as a five, I thought, you know, it was typical Blackett fare, no more, no less.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought he was certainly better than he was at the weekend. I thought he got forward. I thought he put in some nice little balls. Just didn't quite come off. And like I said, I thought he kept Villa quite quiet all night, although, you know, Villa in the first, 5 minutes is a bit of a cock-up involving Joey, and they get through on goal. I think it's Green who missed the one-on-one. He then got himself booked and just generally had a bit of a mare.
I'll let you into a little bit of a secret. If it wasn't for Joey Vandenberg initially losing that ball, he would have been a nine for me.
Thought
he was that good.
Wow, that is lofty praise indeed. Especially, I don't know how many people would have thought we'd be sat here talking about Joey Vandenberg 9 out of 10. Given what happened on Saturday as well. But yeah, I mean, it goes to show, it said nobody really, except for, you know, one player and some substitutes getting below a six, really was a good performance. But I hate to say it and phrase it like this, but Dave, how much of this was Reading being really good or Villa being poor?
You can only weigh against what you've got in front of you, and Villa's set up, you know, the way they set up to play against us, as we said before, was just so obvious. They allowed us the ball. You know, they had Scott Hogan initially pressurising or trying to put pressure on the front, on the forward, on the back line. The fact that, you know, we sprung a little bit of a surprise on Villa with the way in which we, you know, with the personnel, I don't think they've necessarily expected to see Clement playing centrally. No. They wouldn't have expected to have seen Barrow playing. Barrow and Popper playing necessarily. We've done the right thing. Yapstam has outfought Steve Bruce, you know, battle of the ex-United defenders. How good of a Villa were poor. Let's not beat around the bush. But that is as much to do with Steve Bruce's failings and the way that he set up Villa to just sit back, allow us the ball, than it was good. Let's not get too carried away with this. It's a performance in isolation, but at the same time, you know, we have thoroughly outplayed them, and there are many teams that did that last season, and we struggled against them, and we've made Villa look very ordinary with a quite dynamic performance today. Like I say, that's set the bar against teams that set up like that.
Absolutely. A few more comments in the show. Again, thanks everyone joining us. Tony Dempsey says, considering the money they've spent and the players they have, they are so poor. Some praise coming in from Odu Barrow. Ben Raddy says, Barrow was excellent today. Could be a real steal for £1.5 million. And Ben Greenwood as well says, Barrow looking to be a great signing, loves to drive forward and works really hard as well. Credit to as well, Ben, for did you see the new Yapstam Superman Avengers style graphic at the end of the game, Dave, replacing the Batman?
I did, yes, I did see
excellent
that. Save time for a little bit, let people go.
Yeah.
Did notice that. Yeah, very good.
Excellent work, Ben. Keep up the good work. Anyway, so thanks everyone joining us on the live. It's great to have as many people watching and joining in. That's why we do these things. But yeah, I think Villa have got big problems. I didn't see what the plan was from Bruce. As for John Terry, I think my highlight of the night was to do with the fans when Villa fans started singing, John Terry, he's won more than you, to which Reading fans quite rightly responded, with exactly the same. It was a very curious chant from the Villa fans, who, to their credit, travelled in big numbers today. I think there was about 3,500, 4,000 of them. But yeah, I don't know what's more worrying, Dave, the fact that sacked in the morning chants were going out from both sets of fans, or the fact that football has gone to the point where I can actually see it happening. I don't think it's going to happen, but he's got big, big problems to sort out.
Well, I mean, he admitted on Saturday that he didn't know, he hasn't been able to turn around on. Yeah, let's not ignore that. They actually beat us in their first away game under him. You know, I suppose when you're admitting that, you're admitting defeat. And I think too many of Villa's players also admitted defeat at 2-0 tonight. You know, that they are in a right old hole, Villa. And at the moment, I can't see them staying in such a poor shape, a poor set of circumstances. But they're also not helped by a very vocal owner. Is it Tony Gia?
Yeah.
He's generally very vocal on social media. I just think that, you know, there comes a point where actually, you know, stop, you know, banging the drum, take a step back, take stock, look at what's going on, and stop signing, you know, average, what ultimately are, you know, for Villa, our average players on huge money.
Take a look at, and I say,
that's not necessarily in championship terms, because I don't think Conor Hourihan is an average player. I don't think Albert Adoma is an average player. John Terry certainly isn't an average player. Right. You know, he probably is at Premier League level now. But there is something seriously wrong at that club. And when they've got, you know, players who are decent championship quality, overpriced, let's not get away from that, but they've still got decent championship quality, and they're not, you know, coming and, you know, not even trying to attack Reading, who have a far lower budget, but we've shown that we've thoroughly outplayed them by actually playing football. That's one thing that we will have over most teams this season, is the fact that we've tried to win games playing with the ball rather than without the ball.
What I was going to say is I was surprised at how negative they were, because this, for me, would have been a great time to come at Reading. You know, they've conceded that late goal against Fulham. They got beat on the opening day. They've got injury problems. Villa should have thought, we've got nothing to lose here. We've had a couple of bad results. Let's really go for Reading. And apart from, I said that, the chance they had for Green in the first 5 minutes, that was about it for large portions of the game. They had a couple of free kicks towards the end of the first half, but just really bad. I just wonder if the balance there is not right, whether they've got too many players on the way down and not enough players on the way up. You do question the ultimate motivation of the likes of Terry, Chester, Neil Taylor, people that have been there, and Alan Hutton. You know, they're really going to go that, strain the extra sinew. I don't know. But let's get away from Villa. We don't have to worry about them anymore. Moving on for Reading issues, Yapstown gave brief injury updates. We'll have a full write-up on the Tarlest End tomorrow morning. But looks like no Jordan Obita for a little while yet. John Daly Bodvarsson's out for a couple of weeks as well. Still no Kermigant or Harriet. And Stammer said he's still after a defender, a midfielder and a striker, Dave. So more reinforcements hopefully on the way. But what happens for when Reading go to Deepdale on Saturday? Do they set up exactly the same way they did today? Or would you maybe go and play that five at the back again?
Well, it's stick or twist, isn't it? I'm genuinely not sure. I mean, if this was Simon Grayson, Preston, I would have said, yeah, stick to the same, because Preston would, certainly as the home team, they'd be more attacking. But, you know, there were elements that, you know, signs that we could outplay Preston last season. Yes, all right, we lost 3-0, two horrible goals conceded on the break. But I'd be tempted to stick with the same lineup and work at Preston's weaknesses. They're a decent enough side, Preston, but they're not, with all due respect, anything special. And there's no reason, if we play similar to the way that we played tonight, why we can't do them with the personnel that we had.
Yeah, and this is the missing. This is the big question for me for Yapstown this season, is getting a more consistent away performance. We saw the good results that, you know, the likes of the win at Villa Park last year, but we also saw the horrible capitulations at Carrow Road, at Griffin Park, at St James's Park. I want to see that they're getting these results. Even QPR in the first day of the season, that could easily have been 4 or 5-0. They need to show they can go away from home and play with the same pomp and confidence. the players coming back from injury will help that. It was great to see Gareth McCleary, Roy Bearens getting minutes tonight, even if they weren't particularly impressive. But, you know, there was one moment when McCleary was put clean through and you could just tell a very rusty touch. Otherwise, he would have buried it and made it 3-0. So, hopefully...
Yeah, it was rusty all over. Yeah. So, uncharacteristic mistakes.
Absolutely.
It was him that gave away the free kick in the D. He gave away a free kick about about 30 seconds to a minute before, which gave them the opportunity to sling the ball in the box. Very rusty from McCleary, which is why I gave him a 4.
Mm. The encouraging thing, though, overall is, you know, I wrote about this playoff hangover that I expected us to have, and we seem just tonight alone, just that hangover seems to be lifting. We've had our Lucozade, we've had our painkillers, we've had a bacon butty, and we're just starting to feel better again. And it's time to get tucked into a big meal and really give this a go. I said, if we get those signings, just avoid a bit. I'm not saying we need to go to deep down and win, but I think we just need to avoid a solid defeat. Even if we just get pipped, you know, 2-1, 1-0, put in that good performance, hopefully get a positive result. And then really, so far, I mean, the way the championship's looking, there are lots of spots up for grabs. Although you do have to worry looking at some of the results today. You know, Wolves winning their third game in a row, Borough have won again. Neil Warnock seems to be working his old magic at Cardiff as well. So, yeah, there's going to be a fair bit of competition, but nothing that's out of our league.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you're looking at a couple of those clubs who are really heavy spenders in Wolves and Borough, and they are expected to be up there. But then you could say that for half a dozen, probably anything up to a dozen clubs. I don't know how true this is. I did read something a little earlier that suggested that we were the fourth highest spenders in
really?
The championship. I found slightly remarkable. I don't know how true. I haven't even checked to verify that yet.
Yeah, well,
but when you look historically over the last couple of years, you look at the likes of Derby, certainly Wolves, certainly Borough. You know, you look at those clubs. You know, I can't see that is strictly true.
I know our wages.
Wages
have been very high. We've been consistently amongst the top 6 to 8 in the championship for wage spending. In terms of transfer spending this summer, I think it depends what figures you're using for spending. You know, I think Monone was up to 2.5-3, Bakuna 1.5-3, depending on what you read. Bodvarsson exactly the same. I think if you go on the top end of those things, you could actually say that Reading maybe have spent best part of £10 million this summer. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that.
Yeah,
I think it'll be loaded with incentives and part payments and things like that. But who knows in this world of undisclosed transfers. Anyway, I'm just going to wrap it up with a comment from Brad Willis. He says, at the end of the day, while we have the ball, they can't play. I thought we kept the ball brilliantly, and when we lost it tonight, we fought hard to get it back. It's frustrating at times. I would have liked us to have been a bit more direct tonight on the way to Popper. On the way to Popper, the ball often went to Blackett first. But tonight was a strong, dominant performance, I thought. Thanks for that, Brad. I can't think of many better comments to end it on. I'm going to wrap up the show here just because it's 25-12. And we both have to be up for work early tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, we do. But let's bask in the golden glow
Absolutely.
Of victory.
Absolutely. It's one of those mornings where you relish reading everything to do with it. And don't worry, we'll have a full match report. You can read Mark's ratings, how he's ranked them out of 10 as well tomorrow morning. We'll have lots of bits and pieces up in the coming days. So head over to thetarlesden.com. And again, if you like what we're doing here on YouTube and with the podcast, the website, donate to us at patreon.com. You can see the little logo floating up over there. It's patreon.com/thetarlesden. patreon.com/Tarlesden. It's our electronic tip jar. It's what you can do if you want to help fund further improvements or just say thanks for the work you do, chaps. So thank you to everyone who's joined the course so far and everyone who's going to do so. Dave, thank you very much for staying up after this win and joining me.
No worries.
Unfortunately, you didn't get the prediction league right, but neither did I. So we'll take it for a win. But anyway, we'll get you back on the pod.
I've won it once, and I need to win it again.
Exactly. Once a champ, always a champ. Anyway, thanks for coming on the show. We'll get you on the full podcast soon. I will be back with Tom Crocker on Friday for the podcast extra, and we will have a full Tarlhurst End podcast back next Monday. Into the meantime, go on, you are.
The Tarlhurst End podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.